and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2.
Why are you so giggly?
Because I had a bowl of bitchy this morning for breakfast, didn't I?
You snapped at Jim. Oh, my
sorry, Jim.
God.
I'm sorry.
I just knew it. I knew she was going to throw away the second page of it. Oh, by the way, the last line of that. He went dumpster diving.
Yeah, and I snapped at you when you told when you called me to tell you you had jury duty.
Yeah, you did.
You're fired.
And I was out in the hallway with the other jurors saying, are you really going to fire me? They were looking at me. Like,
they're like, tell the bitch it's illegal. Like, oh, whatever. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LeBoyer, voice deity, Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. Sometimes it makes me giggle, my own bitchiness.
Yeah.
All right. Representative Jackie Speier, Democrat of California.
Spears or Spires?
Spire, well, Spear. Well, I'd better figure it out.
We'll get the pronunciation of that and get that right back to you.
And one of my personal... I'll get that back to you. And one of my personal favorites, comedian Michael McDonald from Mad TV. And,
not the singer.
Exactly, not that one. Funny man. Will also be on Celebrity
The
Hot
very
Line.
Tall funny man. He goes to our Be Celebrity gym.
And he's dreamy. Okay.
I think pretty much have to be to go to your Be Celebrity gym.
No, there's some...
Oof.
Yeah.
Listen.
Not dreamy people.
No, there's some
no
creatures
ropes
there.
At the front. Okay.
All
you
right.
You go in, you're not. No.
As you know, executive producer Chris LeBoyer will be with us, you know, first couple of hours, and then he has to go because he's too much of a loser to get out of jury duty.
All right.
Bye.
Take care now. Bye-bye then.
Loser. Listener Jesse in Iowa has sent Homer Simpson's advice for getting out of jury duty.
The trick is to say you're prejudiced against all races.
See?
Okay.
I figured something out.
I should have told them that.
Especially those fill in the blank. Can't stand those fill in the blanks.
And I figured this is going to be you. The least you could do is try to cause a mistrial by fiddling with your iPhone, which we know that you're obsessed with. The pretty shiny new iPhone.
It's beauteous. No, but I turn it off before I go into the courtroom.
This is in the New York Times. As jurors turn to the web, mistrials are popping up. Last week, a juror in a big federal drug trial in Florida admitted to the judge he'd been doing research on the case on the Internet, directly violating the judge's instructions and centuries of legal rules. When the judge questioned the rest of the jury, he got an even bigger shock. 8 other jurors have been doing the same thing.
Oh, wow.
The federal judge had no choice but to declare a mistrial.
What?
It might be called a Google mistrial. The use of BlackBerries and iPhones by jurors gathering and sending out information about cases is wreaking havoc on trials around the country.
God. God,
infuriating judges. You admitted to what were you? You said you claim it was during the breaks. What were you doing? Were you tweeting or something?
Yeah, you know, I was just giving updates on Facebook, MySpace, you know, that sort of thing. Yeah, but that was during the breaks. And actually, a friend of mine, Rick, is on jury duty too, and we found an internet cafe with free Wi-Fi for lunch break.
What did we ever do before the cell phones and the BlackBerries and the iPhones?
We read.
I can't walk from here into the garage without, you know what I mean, doing something.
We read the newspaper. We called
we just,
people on the phone.
No, but we just walked around doing nothing, reading nothing, talking to no one. What the hell were we thinking?
We're an ADD nation now.
I still do that. I use my phone as little as possible.
I know you do.
Yeah, we know you do.
What are you doing? What are you thinking? Right
now. Now you feel like a giant loser if you're just walking doing nothing. If you're not talking to someone or doing email, you feel like you're a big slacker, wasting time.
Fake cell phones to the crazy homeless people. So they'll look like they're talking to Spielberg when they're talking to no one at all.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. It used to just be crazy people talking to themselves, and now you assume somebody has earbuds on, but you can't really tell.
Mm-hmm. Or someone standing behind you in the checkup line. You bastard! How dare you!
What?
I'm not talking to you. What?
What?
All right. Chris, this may be you.
What?
This may be you may be on trial. Maybe Jim will be on this jury if I get any bitch here. Arkansas woman drugs boss's coffee so he'll chill.
So he'll chill?
You might be slipping something into my coffee soon. The police had said...
What's this AIR haven't already done so?
You may... We've replaced Stephanie's morning bowl of bitchy with Folger's coffee with some Xanax. Police said a woman has been arrested for allegedly slipping some tranquilizers into her boss's coffee because she felt, quote, he needed to chill out. This in Arkansas.
Wow. That's a thought.
And I guess he did.
Yeah.
All right. Let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Yippee. Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here, it's Days Broken. Our top story. President Obama yesterday pushed back against criticism that he's trying to take on too many issues at once. Eric Cantor is befuddled by fast movement. It makes his already overly large Adam's apple throb in confusion.
Yeah, it does.
Defending a $3.6 trillion budget that seeks to shore up the economy while also, wait for it, overhauling health care, energy, and education.
Oh, my God.
No. To kick these problems down the road for another 4 years or another 8 years would be to continue the same irresponsibility that led us to the point, said the president. That's not why I ran for this office. I didn't come here to pass problems on to the next president or the next generation. The American people don't have the luxury of just focusing on Wall Street. They don't have the luxury of choosing to pay their mortgage or their medical bills. They don't get to pick between paying their kids' college tuition or saving enough money for retirement. They have to do all these things as a consequence. So do we. I say, hear, hear. We have more from the president, aren't we?
Holy crap. No. I knew it was going to be bad before I took office, but sweet Jesus on a bicycle, the pile of they left me to clean up would fill the Sears Tower right to the top. And then some. The war, the economy, the banks, the healthcare system, education. Is there anything these yutzes didn't break? I'm going to be shoveling for the next 4 years, and I already know there isn't a pony. Fortunately, Rush Limbaugh had one thing right. I am Barack, the Magic Negro. And it's going to take all my mojo to put things right. But I'll tell you something else. It's going to be a lot easier if I don't have a swarm of Republican tight-ass dweebs like Eric Cantor and the boner getting all up in my face and snapping the collar about doing too much. I know your lazy congressional butts aren't used to doing more than getting on TV and playing with yourselves in public. But I can chew gum and take a jump shot at the same time. So get down in the paint with me, or step off. This Obama's made for walking, and right now he's going to walk all over you. Biatches. Everybody chill. I got this.
That's right. Chill out, mother... He's got this. All right. And finally, the headline is Star Wars scientists create laser gun to kill mosquitoes. Oh, that's awesome. Not that Star Wars.
Not that Star Wars.
No.
Oh, a strategic defense initiative?
Yes.
Oh, okay. It's a little different. Oh, sorry.
Scientists in the U.S. are developing a laser gun that could kill millions of mosquitoes in minutes. The laser, which has been dubbed a weapon of mosquito destruction. Scientists.
Some scientist humor. Hey!
Ow. I poke myself with my pocket protector.
Flavin.
Okay, it fires at mosquitoes once
it... How can you poke yourself with a pocket protector?
Well,
it's
not
sharp.
Well, if you're laughing really hard and you... Never mind.
Okay. Sorry. Point of order.
How can the other jurors stand you? Correcting grammar willy-nilly. The laser fires the mosquitoes once it detects the audio frequency created by the beating of the wings. The laser beam then destroys the mosquito, burning it on the spot. Yikes. Developed by some of the astrophysicists involved in what was known as the Star Wars anti-missile programs during the Cold War, the project is meant to prevent the spread of malaria. Bill Gates funded the research.
Ah.
A little fun fact there. Who do we have?
Bill Gates, actually.
Oh.
Good. All right, gentlemen. I put up a lot of my own scratch to fund this mosquito zapper thingy, so this had better work. Otherwise, I might need a bailout from the taxpayers. Dr. Kerr, please explain to us how your system works. Dr. Kerr? Wait a minute, you're not Dr. Kerr.
That's right. Dr. Kerr is off the case. This is my baby now.
Former President Bush, how the... What the...
It has come to my attention that Dr. Kerr is shipping large quantities of yellow cake uranium to Africa, supposedly to fight mosquitoes, because Africa is a country with a lot of diseases. But it's also a country with a lot of terrorists.
What do you base this preposterous conclusion on? Do you have any evidence?
Just a hunch. I never liked that guy. He's always looking at me funny.
Dr. Kerr has a wandering eye. He's always looking at everybody funny.
Yeah, well, he won't be looking funny for long. not after he gets a heap and helping of enhanced interrogation techniques. I bet John, you can get him to confess to kidnapping the Lindbergh baby.
So what's your solution to the mosquito problem?
Oh, something I picked up when I was a kid. I just took all your test subject mosquitoes and jammed teeny tiny firecrackers up their behinds. Yeah, went through a lot of tweezers, as you can imagine.
How do you plan to detonate all those firecrackers?
Well, sir, that was a little flaw in my plan. By the time I could have lit all those teeny tiny fuses, I would have run out of teeny tiny matches, so I took the liberty of calling in an airstrike. Here they come. I love the smell of napalm in the morning. Shock it off. You're welcome. Hey, the bill's in the mail. See, I gotta go fix that Obama depression thingy. I'm thinking a nuclear strike on New York ought to do it. Can't wait to get my George Goebbels Peace Prize. Adios, gazpachos.
Oh, dear. That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends and play this. If you'd like more Jim Ward, Paul DeRoll.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com. There's a banner ad that will lead you right there. How about
boy,
that?
Oh, boy, howdy.
Howdy. Indeed. Oh, heavens. Hey, George Bush, he is speaking. Someone paid to hear him speak.
Oh, huh? No.
Just so when you're wondering, is there someone dumber than George Bush?
That's you?
Yes, whoever decided to pay George Bush
There's
to
lots
speak.
Of people who would pay to make him stop.
Exactly. Can I have my old Canada, please? He was in Canada to make a public appearance for one of the first times since leaving office. Bush slated to speak before a private business audience of 1,500 in a by the Calgary Chamber of Commerce.
Wow. So did people throw their snow boots and their toques at him?
And poutine. I believe poutine was thrown.
Hot poutine, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The event's invitation says he'll touch on his 8 years in office and challenges currently facing the world due to his 8 years in office, yes. I'm guessing. Why there's so many challenges facing the world. Protesters are promised to be outside the lunch on event with piles of shoes.
That's funny!
They say he should be arrested as a war criminal.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Of course, in what we call shoes in Canada, you call hockey skates, so dodge that, eh?
That's funny. All right, 20 minutes out.
Let go, eh? Become more skates, eh?
Chris, stop looking at me in that like that. It is not because I was out drinking at a friend's birthday party last night that I'm asking the questions. What new and creative and politically incorrect things should we do to the AIG executives? Call now, 1-800-STEP.
Oh, my. You were drunk last night. You're still drunk.
Yes. Oh, I'm just kidding. I have some sort of preparation and some thoughts of my own.
You look a little hungover.
20 minutes after the hour. Right back with the latest on the AIG mess on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Carolyn in Akron, Ohio, on AIS. Hi, Carolyn.
AIG. Hi. Yeah,
pardon?
AIG.
What did I say?
AIS.
I apologize to AIS. I meant AIG. All right, go ahead.
I don't know if you've mentioned this or not, but Keith Olbermann had said on Monday that this whole deal that was made with AIG was made by the Federal Reserve.
Yes.
Like last fall. And I know Hannity, that idiot, keeps blaming Obama and this administration for the whole thing. And it's like, well, they had nothing to do with it. Congress had nothing to do with it. And, you know, I mean, I realize it's on their lap now, but they weren't the instigators. They weren't the ones that said,
right.
Yeah, okay, fine, go ahead. You know, I think...
Yeah, I had the misfortune, Carolyn, of stumbling upon Sean Hannity's radio show. I do that by accident sometimes, like stepping, you know, like, you know, you accidentally stepping in
dog poo or something.
Yeah, and like radioactive nuclear waste or something. Like, oh! But yeah, he was like, that was his whole what the fox. He was like, should TurboTax cheat Tim Geithner be fired? I was like, what?
God, he's idiot. But you know what? I wanted to tell Jim, he sounded like Marvin Martian when he was doing
Yeah, I noticed that.
It's kind of the same.
Yeah. Thank you, Karen. All right, thank you.
I that was... claim this mosquito zapper for Mars. I hate being disintegrated.
That got a phlegmy morning laugh out of Carolyn.
It did.
Dave in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on AIG. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
In order to force them to give the money back, I would make them watch videos of Ann Coulter's prostate reduction surgery.
Oh, come on now. Let's not get really outside the Geneva Convention. Okay. Mike in Chicago on AIG as well. Hi, Mike.
Hey, I think we should tar and feather them just like we used to back in the day.
Tar and feather. Yeah, is that still allowed?
No, obviously not. Mm. But you know, I think that should be. And I am really shocked that it's taken this long for people to realize that the Federal Reserve has been charging us all these dividends for all the money that they lend us.
Yeah.
It blows my mind. And the worst part about it is this is the perfect time for them to bring in the whole idea of not only the European Union, but the North American Union, what is it, that Amero that they're talking about now?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I've been hearing about this for the past 2 years. People have been telling me I'm crazy, but you know what? It's happening now. So I don't even know what to say anymore.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Every day you're like, I didn't know what to say yesterday. Yeah. I really don't know what to say. Hey, point of order. Tarring and feathering?
Yes.
It's just we're just exploring solutions.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of lawsuits taxing it. Tar and feathering. We're just saying it's in the pool of, we're spitballing. There's no wrong answers here. Okay, so it didn't kill you, right? Tarring and feathering. Well, how did one get the tar off? I wonder.
Well, it was hot tar, so it was burnt. The torture part.
Oh,
yeah.
But did they have like gooby gone or something back then?
They goof probably off? Just took your skin off when you took off.
Was there goof off? Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think 409 just got it off.
You think 409 gets everything out, doesn't it?
Windex.
Yes, it does.
Use Windex on everything.
What's that other thing? The green thing? Simply Green?
Simply
something.
Green?
Yes, that does
Simple
it.
Simple Green.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. I don't know. It's just the little things stick in my head.
Okay.
All right. So, obviously people are exploring, like, what our options are on this getting the AIG bonuses back. Barney Frank prefers pressure to legislation. He says we own the company, which we do.
Right.
So we can just say, I guess.
You're fired.
Or you don't get the bonus because you screwed up. By the way, if I had been giving you a bonus, I would take it back because of you getting jury duty. But fortunately.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Congress looking at huge taxes, which, by the way, they stole from us. Everybody steals everything from us. One of our listeners came up with that. Just tax it at 100% and we get the money back that way, which, hello.
I think they've heard about
kids in class.
Yeah, that New York. What was her name?
It was my show.
Yeah, she actually was the first one to, I think.
Who said that?
Suggest taxing about 100% of the value. Forget her name. Some New York...
Chick.
She stole it from us. Okay. 28 minutes after the hour. Did we figure out the pronunciation?
Not yet.
Dr. What? Representative Jackie Spire.
Spears.
Spear.
Spears?
We'll figure it out. Democrat of the great state of California Spears? Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
And I don't really think it's fair for me to be on a jury because I'm a hologram.
You seem fine to me. Report to jury room B.
See, that's one you could have used.
Because I'm a hologram.
Because I'm a hologram.
Huh.
That was from 30 Rock, and Liz Lemon was dressed up as Princess Leah trying to get out of jury duty.
It is the
Help
Stephanie.
Me, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. You could have used that story I did yesterday.
What?
The guy that said he can't be arrested at DUI because he's his own country. And you have no jurisdiction here.
I heard that while driving to jury duty. I heard you do that story.
Mm-hmm. Could have tried that one.
Mm-hmm.
33 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. The president got off a good one yesterday.
Just say no is the right advice to give your teenagers about drugs. It is not an acceptable response to whatever economic policy is proposed by the other party.
Yes.
Teehee. If only there was someone that could speak to that with some sort of authority. What? Who is it, Chris?
Representative Jackie Spear from out here in California,
The great state of California. Fabulous. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Thanks so much for taking time for us. Well, you know, I know this has been said over and over again about the Republicans right now being the party of no, but, you know, the president said it best yesterday when he said that, didn't he? And then he said, we don't need more point scoring. We need more problem solving. You know, it seems like their only point is to be against whatever the president is for, isn't it?
Well, I think that's the strategy they've been using in an effort to try and regain some kind of a message to the American people, except it's not working and it's not resonating. The American people, whether you like the word bipartisanship or not, they want to see results. They want to see problems solved. And if you just sit on your hands and say no, you're not part of the solution.
Well, and I think, Congresswoman, that the you know, American people, clearly, if you look at polling, are smart enough to figure this out, that the Bush administration has left a giant mess almost on every front. And you know that if the president were not addressing all these things, they would be saying the opposite. They'd be going, well, look, he's not doing anything about energy or health care, or, you know. Right?
I mean, yeah. Well, that is the strategy. I mean, you know, the Republicans, for the most part, are all about no government, less government. And no government and less regulations has put us in this mess.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, absolutely. Well, talk to us more about the budget, because you do hear a lot of hot air.
Well, I mean, the budget is it's a bold move. I don't think anyone would suggest otherwise. But it's also a reflection of his values, the president's values, and the fact that it's going to be a transparent budget, and there's no more games going to be played. And that's a good thing for the American people. They're going to see it all in black and white.
Well, I think it was Senator Murray yesterday that talked about the fact that, you know, for all the Republicans screaming, this budget does exactly what he campaigned on. It wouldn't raise taxes on 95% of Americans, right?
That's right. In fact, it gives 95% of Americans a tax cut. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, they're trying to suggest that somehow, because we want to address the issue of global warming and create a cap and trade component to companies that generate CO2, that somehow that's a tax on the American people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you use that kind of logic, then, you know, virtually everything we do, there's a tax because you're driving on the roadways. There's a tax because you fill your car up with gas.
Right.
You know, we do have values, and our budget is going to reflect those values. And, you know, part of the Democratic belief is that we do have a responsibility to address this planet and the catastrophic elements of global warming.
Well, you know, and again, we have so many problems that are so pressing. Again, I think I was quoting earlier, the president made a good point about, you know, we as Americans don't have the luxury to only focus on one thing at a time. I mean, this criticism that he's doing too much, all these problems to me seem pretty interconnected, aren't they?
Well, you know, oftentimes you hear that from people that are jealous because they can't handle more than one ball in the air.
Right. It'd be like telling your kid, why are you doing badly at math? Focus just on math. It's like, don't even go to the other classes.
You know, part of what you have to do in an emergency room is triage. You got to take care of all the sick people. You take care of the most sick people first, and then you deal with all the others. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, right.
He has a responsibility to address all these issues.
Representative Spear, I was a caller was talking about Sean Hannity yesterday, and I happened to listen to some of his show, and I thought, you know, I understand they're the opposition, and that's fine. You know, that's America. But it seems like, again, none of it is geared towards solving the problems. It's just towards scoring political points, like the president said yesterday. It was just, his whole show was about getting Tim Geithner fired. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I don't think the American people really want these gotcha games anymore, do you? I think
I don't think they ever wanted those gotcha games. You know, sometimes the opposition party gets away with a gotcha here and there, but it for the most part, never proves to be very constructive or valuable in the long term. And I think the Republicans are going to see in very short order that, you know, this particular strategy is not working at all. And if they want to see their numbers in Congress dwindle even more so, continuing on this path is going to guarantee that.
Right. And, I mean, obviously there's a lot of populist rage right now, as well there should be, over these AIG bonuses. And I think, as somebody pointed out earlier, again, what seems to be lost in all the smoke is that this is the Bush administration started this AIG bailout, you know. So, I mean, again, we have to figure out how to address it, but it just again be playing gotcha that, you know, this is the president's fault, I think is counterproductive.
Well, and it's actually not just counterproductive, it's untrue. Right. And we've got to call people on dishonesty. And this is a great example where they're trying to twist the truth and twist history to their own benefit. And I think the American people appreciate what's genuine and what's not, mm-hmm. and what's authentic and what's not. And neither is the case for the Republicans right now.
So what is your take on the AIG bonuses? I know that there's a lot of different theories going around. Barney Frank saying, we own the company. We could, have people fired if we wanted. There's Congress obviously looking at taxing it pretty much at almost 100% to get it back. What is your take on it?
Well, I think all of those options are available to us. And to somehow state that somehow these contracts are not renegotiable is preposterous. Of course they're renegotiable. They're renegotiated on right. all kinds of levels. I mean, we've went to the automakers and said, renegotiate your union contracts. Well, why should Wall Street be any different? And so I think there's any number of ways we can address it. These bonuses should not be given. They're called retention bonuses. They're trying to retain the very people that put us in this mess. And they're, 73 millionaires being created by these particular bonuses this year, not to mention next year. And we own the company. So we need to assert some authority here.
Right. Well, so now Tim Geithner is saying AIG will have to return to the Treasury Department the $165 million it just paid out. He wrote a letter to you guys, right, to congressional leaders. The money will come from the operations of the company and the amount of the retention award. Does that prevent further legislation, or how does that work?
Well, I think that's a step in the right direction. But the bigger issue is we have put out up to $175 billion to AIG. The number, it may grow to $199 billion. And they won't even tell us who the counterparties are that they paid off. And, some of these counterparties are some of the people that whose hands are not very clean anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, at some point, I think we need to step back and say, we've been given a lot of scare tactics about what would happen if AIG went bankrupt. Well, let's face it, AIG is bankrupt. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're kind of propping it up with that kind of money, then what's next? And, we've also got to take a hard look at this whole concept of too big to fail and move mm-hmm. away from it, because mm-hmm. otherwise, it's going to take this country down a terrible path.
Right, right. I was quoting yesterday Representative Speer from the Time magazine has an article about the case for letting AIG fail.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of above my pay grade, I don't know what the answer is, but boy, I know there's a lot of bailout fatigue, and I think it's frightening to the American people, isn't it?
Well, Stephanie, you're absolutely right, and furthermore, we're the same. It's above our pay grades in many respects in Congress. We listened to the economists who basically said, you got to do this. You got to put this money out for TARP, for the stimulus, because if you don't do it, we're going to be in a Great Depression. So we respond to that. And we responded to the Fed when they said AIG has to be propped up, because if you don't prop it up, the entire global economy will come to a screeching halt. But at some point, we've got to stand back and say, no, wait a minute.
Right.
Does this make sense?
Right. Well, obviously the point has always been not to help the banks, it's to help the banks help people. You know what I mean? That's obviously we're trying to, shore up the entire economy here. But, I know. I think that's the question most people are asking. Where does it end?
And the banks is another good example. Here we put all this money into the banks, expecting them to take that money and loan it out, and then they didn't do it.
Right.
So I think we can point to how Secretary Paulson took steps in good faith, I'm sure, but nonetheless, they weren't effective enough to get to the result we wanted.
Right. Well, it's the lack of regulation and oversight that got us where we are now. But
I can't say it often enough. When we had Glass-Steagall in effect since the 1930s after the crash that separated the banks and the insurance companies and securities firms that worked for over 60 years, but they pushed and pushed to get the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act passed in 1999, signed by then-President Clinton, and in less than 10 years, look at what it wrecked.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, and I know Edward Liddy, the CEO of AIG, is going to take the hot seat today.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be like that scene in Airplane. He's going to be sweating so much, don't you think?
In fairness to him, he was brought in
right.
after the fact.
Yeah. Right.
He's getting a dollar a year. He's trying to fix things. You know, he still has to represent the company, and I think we've got to ask him the hard questions.
Yeah, well, probably won't be his favorite day. All right.
Okay.
Congresswoman Jackie Speier from the great state of California, thanks so much for taking time
My
for
pleasure,
us.
My pleasure, Stephanie.
All right. There she goes.
Yay!
Our homegirl.
Yes, from up there in San Francisco.
Home slice.
My hometown.
Yes.
And the really dumb thing about some of these retention bonuses, some of those guys aren't even with the company anymore.
I know. Yeah. Hello. Isn't it ironic? Why? Yeah. It's like rain on your wedding day, isn't it,
Give
Jim?
Give me millions of dollars, or I'll leave the company. Oh, thanks.
Okay, thanks. Bye. Slam. Slam. Bye.
That is like 10,000 spoons when all you need is a knife.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Financially speaking.
Sure.
What? 44 minutes after the hour, back with more on the AIG mess as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What the hell was that?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show, breaking down like an old jalopy. My microphone just broke during this break. Damn it, I broke the show. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll-free from anywhere. Yeah, the guy I bought my house from could fix this with the like he fixed everything else with masking tape.
And a little Windex.
Mm-hmm. And some gooby gone. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Tim in Madison on AIG. Hi, Tim.
Good morning, Steph. As Jim pointed out before the break, AIG actually had a employee who received $4 million for this retention.
Uh-huh.
Retention. Unfortunately, he hadn't worked there for 7.5 months.
Wow.
$4 million.
Wow.
I want to know.
Isn't there some sort of legal requirement if that you're being paid to be retained?
Yeah,
that
exactly.
You
I want a job
stay?
Where I can go ahead and not work for the company for 7.5 months and get $4 million.
Yeah.
That's
where do
what
I
want, especially, you know, since we paid for that.
Yeah, exactly. Especially since it's our money.
He knows something that maybe it's a bribe. If you're giving $4 million not to talk about what went on there.
Wow.
This thing just makes me angrier and angrier.
I know it. Jake in Chicago on AIG. Hi, Jake.
Yeah, well, how do we know that guy didn't make the company $20 million while he was there?
Does it seem right to you to get $4 million retention bonus to leave? Does it seem right?
If he generated $20 million in profit, I'd say it was right.
Hmm.
Well, the company wasn't generating a whole lot of profit there, so...
No, but we're talking
yeah,
about
the company fail?
Person, though. We're talking about a person.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay. Well, we don't know, so we're having a hypothetical argument, but go ahead.
If the company is doing badly, nobody should get a bonus.
Okay.
That's common sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now, you keep saying that lack of oversight and regulation is what got us where we are, and
yes.
I have to laugh at that because, you know, the government's got the ultimate in oversight and regulation right now in terms of basically owning.
Yes.
And they're not really showing their business acumen to be at all. I mean, they're basically throwing a bunch of money down a rat hole. It's not working. And as far as these bonuses are concerned, I want to know what the president knew and when he knew it in terms of, because when they signed this legislation, they knew about these
yeah,
bonuses.
Well, that would be George Bush would have been president
when that happened.
When the AIG plan was hatched.
Okay, so
it would be what did George Bush know and when did he know it?
Okay, well, and President Obama as well. He just found out yesterday?
I don't think, go ahead.
It's a case study in why the government shouldn't be involved in this kind of stuff. Now they're going
to. Well, the government doesn't want to be involved in this. They have to be.
Now they're going to get to rewrite legislation to get them out of a contract that they shouldn't have got into in the first place.
Jake,
so you think it was too much?
Just because they got the power to do it.
So you think it was too much regulation that started this, that got us into this problem?
I'm saying that the government is not helping the situation, and they're not showing themselves to be very good at
okay, but Jake, business. Do you think any government, whether it's headed by George Bush or Barack Obama, do you think they really want to be in the business of owning banks and insurance companies? Is that really what you think their goal is?
I hope
or they
not.
Feel like it's necessary because we're obviously in a global financial meltdown.
I haven't heard an exit strategy. What's the plan?
What's your plan? That's what I'm saying. I don't think their goal was to do this. I'm not saying that should be our goal for the government to own everything. I don't think that's what anybody, you know, it's like Barack Obama said when he came in. It's not like he was itching to spend all this money. What president would want to?
So are they going to keep this on in perpetuity? What's the exit plan? I haven't heard a strategy for getting out of this whole thing. How's the government going to divest itself from these investments that it's making?
Look, Jake, all I know is economists on both sides of the aisle are recommending that this is what we do. I don't know what's going to work exactly and when it's going to work, and I think the president has said as much. But this is what they feel we have to try.
Are you okay?
You know what it is? I cannot stumble on Sean Hannity's radio show by accident. I heard him arguing with a caller. She was talking about, you know, the Bush administration being responsible, obviously, for a lot of the, you know, situation we're in economically. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, Karen, he inherited a recession. And she's like, what? No, Sean, no. And Sean's like, yes, you'll have to trust me on this. You know, the Clinton-Gore recession he refers to.
Of course, yeah.
And she was like, she's like, no, Sean, we had a surplus. No, mm-hmm. Sean. And he's like, I mean, seriously. But I'm like, he's been president. He was president for 8 years.
Yeah.
He's going, oh, several months of whatever. That's a recession. That's what he inherited. It's like, what? Because there might have been a tiny downturn at the time George Bush took office.
He went straight from the Clinton recession to the Obama recession. George Bush was just helpless. He was a victim of circumstance.
Oh, boy.
Poor little Georgie.
Congressional Democrats yesterday vowed to all but strip AIG executives of the $165 million in bonuses as expressions of outrage swelled in Congress. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid yesterday.
Recipients of these bonuses will not be able to keep all their money.
Huh. That's succinct.
Chuck Schumer basically said, if you don't, see, I was saying that yesterday. Shouldn't they just return it on their own? I mean, this is obviously a huge, you know, a public outcry. Yeah,
companies like that don't return anything on their own. Well, they have to be forced to
Chuck
do it.
Schumer said
if you don't return it on your own, we'll do it for you.
Yeah. But, what's his name? The constitutional scholar who's on
Jonathan Turley.
Yes. Uh-huh. Was saying that, you know, the tax thing just isn't going to work. There are too many laws governing that sort of thing. But the fraud investigation might be worth pursuing if AIG just committed massive fraud.
Stephen Raleigh, North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, a few quick points. You guys are getting all hot and bothered about the bonuses, and I understand why people understand it very quickly. But you should read the Salon.com article from Elliot Spitzer, formerly, you know, mm-hmm. Hooker fame.
Yes.
Basically, the credit default swaps that are owed to all these huge banks, foreign banks, Goldman Sachs, et cetera, is the only reason they're keeping the company alive. And you should definitely talk about this article because mm-hmm. that's the real thing.
I've heard
about.
About the paying off the foreign banks?
The counterparties, yeah, right, mm-hmm. and Goldman Sachs. Okay, so that's the big issue. The second issue is, you know, this kind of reminds me of the Iraq War. You said all the economists agree on this kind of approach. It's actually not true. Paul Krugman and Nouriel Roubini. Roubini's been totally accurate predicting this whole crash in 2006. Even the Wall Street Journal and CNBC give him credit for that. Roubini and Paul Krugman have both said these companies need to go into bankruptcy. You can then wipe out entirely every contract they've negotiated for bonuses, get wiped out completely. So it's completely untrue that everyone says this is the approach.
I agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really, really quick. Last thing is that what's really going on is essentially AIG is a conduit to move money from the taxpayers to Goldman Sachs, to Deutsche Bank, to all these other banks. Okay. And I donated to Obama. I voted for him. But Geithner in particular is going to bring his whole presidency down, and this guy needs to go. Mm. And then the last thing is there was a letter from Geithner to Pelosi yesterday on the letterhead. If you really want to get outraged, he talked about protecting the public taxpayers, which is fine. But right next to that, he said, and the counterparties. Okay? You got to look at this letter. You guys can bring it up. It's from, you know, to Nancy Pelosi. And just find the sentence. It's in the second page where Geithner says we need to protect the taxpayers and the counterparties.
What does he mean by counterparties?
Deutsche Bank.
Oh, okay.
You know, all those guys. So it's. I just want to correct you because you have smart listeners like me. But it's kind of like the Iraq War. There are economists. I have no idea what Roubini's affiliation is. Krugman is obviously very progressive, but
right.
There are very smart Nobel Prize winners who are saying this is not the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So
is Krugman saying we shouldn't be doing any of these bailouts?
No,
we should let all?
No, he's
no,
saying
that's
that
what I thought.
They need to find out the ones that are insolvent, and AIG is clearly insolvent.
Right.
One of the questions.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what the Time magazine article was basically saying in the case for letting AIG fail. They're saying we need to determine, you know, we don't need every bank.
Yeah.
to succeed. We need to determine exactly the level of their sickness or whatever.
Yeah, I'm liking Geithner less and less as the days go on.
57 minutes after the hour. Back with Tinsel Talk and more on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Comedian Michael McDonald of Mad TV and the stage and the screen and the Flavin.
Whatever. Not the singer.
No, not the singer.
No, the funny one. On the Celebrity Hotline next hour, we love him. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Like someone did with it. This explains why I can't understand the the bailouts and the AIG and the bonuses and the Flavin.
Mm-hmm.
Brain decline begins in your late 20s, according to a new...
Wait.
What?
You late? Yeah. I think I speak for all of us when I say.
What?
A new study on aging indicates that reasoning, speed of thought, and spatial visualization soon to be in decline in humans in their late 20s.
And reading, apparently.
And pronouncing things correctly.
What?
Wait. Have you ever pronounced things correctly?
No.
Okay.
Computer says no.
So you thought radio would be a good career.
Brain cells just sloshing around the Chardonnay. In the study,
Bob Walters.
The study. In the study, the BBC says they had their subjects solve puzzles, recall words and details of stories. Oh dear God! And spot patterns in letters and symbols in 9 of the 12 tests. Ooh. The BBC says 22 was the average age for peak performance. Market decline began at 27.
Yeah.
Just last year for me.
Especially once you start doing an early morning radio show.
You are triple that, Stephanie.
What? Oh, shut up!
That's last year.
No, don't speak. Don't speak. Don't speak. No. Silence. Silence.
Come on.
Don't speak.
The bailouts on the budget, they're like a financial Rubik's Cube. I can't. Okay. You know what? Here's the one thing I do know. I have an eerie feeling for what will be on. What the Fox? What stories Fox will be covering?
What?
In future, like, say, tonight. The headline is, Obama says he hasn't gone for a swing yet on White House swing set. Obama says he's not a swinger. Do you believe him? Obama and Michelle swinging in the White House. What the fuck?
Well, then the kids are swinging, too.
All right. Listen.
Isn't anyone caring for the children?
Won't someone please think of the children, for God's sakes?
Won't somebody please think of the children?
And now here's Pat in Detroit with an edition of Why AIG Must Be Allowed to Fail. Hello, Pat.
Hello, Stephanie. I've been listening for about 45 minutes now, and you interviewed a woman about 20 minutes ago.
Congresswoman, yes.
I don't know who she was. Well, anyway, she was talking
about the
taxes and things like gasoline taxes. What planet did she come from? We are already paying taxes on everything that we buy, every commodity, every sin tax. Taxes are everywhere. When is that going to stop? And number two, the man that you were just talking to before we went to the break, he was talking about how bad the government is in handling business, and he's right. Why should they be bailing out all these companies? Let them fail. This country is so resilient. The company.
Well, Pat, do you at least understand the argument? Because I do. That, and again, it's not that necessarily they're too big to fail. It's just that it's so interconnected with so many other companies that are going to affect so many people and around the world that it, you know. I mean, I do understand that argument, don't you?
Temporarily, it will. But this country's got an abundant amount of resources that we can always tap into. If the government has to step in at that time, then they can do that, like they did with Teddy.
Don't save any companies.
Yes, exactly. Hmm. I would say that don't save any companies. There is no reason my tax dollars, your tax dollars, should go into bailing out a company that has mismanaged itself, if they have truly mismanaged themselves.
How?
These people, they need to be prosecuted. They have
That's true.
Pat,
And the government's not even any good at that.
The lack of regulation allowed AIG to get so huge, so massive, that if it fails,
that's
it takes down our entire economy and
the
world
economy.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you know what I'm saying, Pat, is you and I agree. None of us likes this. None of us likes bailing out. You know, I understand the actual, you know, just the emotion of going, hey, where's my bailout? How come we're bailing out these people that screwed up?
Well,
I got to pay my bills. And I understand that.
Right,
but Chris makes the point is the problem was the lack of regulation in the first place that let this get so big it's going to affect, you know, so many people. It's not.
A global depression is not something you recover from easily.
No.
It's not. And it's not compassion for AIG. It's compassion for the people that will be affected by this, the amount of people, I think. All right. Now I've gotten my panties in a twist, haven't I? Let's check some. Let's check some entertainment news, shall we?
Time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Our top story, oh dear. Singer Adele wants to sell her urine.
Why?
The Chasing Pavements singer has joked that instead of creating her own perfume, she's tempted to sell bodily fluids to boost her income. She quipped, the whole idea of being a celebrity, doing my own TV show, launching my own perfume, I suppose I could bottle my...
P-word.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes. Okay. We have, who do we have?
It's actually a perfume commercial.
Oh, yes, we have the commercial. Mm-hmm.
Introducing Adele, the new line of intimate perfumes from Britain. A collection of earthy fragrances developed and produced personally by Adele, the newest pop sensation. Adele emits versatile, complex and enchanting scents for every situation. For the total sea and sun experience, there's fish and chips, redolent of malt vinegar and hot oil. To celebrate your Celtic heritage, inhale the glory of Guinness, licorice, and barley, wafting from an enchanting deep brown elixir. A dab of cranberry behind the ears, and your décolletage brings yeasty, fruity notes to the party. And finally, Green Goddess, with its verdant color and deep asparagus notes, brings you the olfactory equivalent of burying your nose in the forest loam. Order now to be put on the waiting list. Adele is not available in stores. Not all scents in stock at all times. Availability depends on what Adele had for dinner the night before. Consistency from batch to batch not guaranteed. After all, who wants to be right as rain? It's better when something's wrong. Who wants to be riding high when you're just troubled back on down? Member FDIC, contents babe. Settle during shipping and handling. Use at your own risk. But patent pending. I've cried my heart out and now I've had enough of love. And urine.
Oh, boy. What is the deal with asparagus? What is the deal? Ugh.
It releases an enzyme.
Oh, nasty. Mm-hmm. Why doesn't any other vegetable do that? I don't understand.
Because it's only in asparagus.
I sense this is something that will take over the rest of the show now. All right. You know
is
how
it
we
raining
tend to,
asparagus where you are?
You know, we tend to fixate on the odd fun facts.
Yes, we do.
Oh, this doesn't seem wise. Finally, the headline is Michael Jackson reportedly plans plastic surgery.
What do you mean plans?
That's what I'm thinking he needs more of. The Thriller singer is reportedly planning to have plastic surgery to ensure he looks his best on stage for his big comeback. His unofficial biographer says, Michael has consulted some of the world's best cosmetologists and surgeons in preparation for this comeback. You would think the world's best plastic surgery might say, you might have had enough, Michael.
Yeah.
It might have been enough now. You might have wanted to stop 40 surgeries ago. You got nothing left. He is said to have had more than 50 cosmetic surgeries.
Holy crap.
Wants to repair the damage done by the previous surgeries. He's reportedly particularly concerned with fixing his crumbling nose. Crumbling because he's had too much plastic surgery. We have, do we have Michael?
Yes,
we have Michael.
I want to change my face before I go to London. My face is devilish. So many plastic surgeons have had their way with my face. It's starting to look like Paris Hilton's area.
Oh.
I'm looking at the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his nose. I'm going to do 50 shows in London, one for each procedure I've had on my face. That's why I'll be outside the arena, scalping tickets for my own show. Get your front row tickets, only $200 million each. Like the old joke says, I only need to sell one. But I need to get the work done. I'm starting to freak people out. Every time I walk up to a group of children to hug them and kiss them and lick their faces, they run away screaming. I blame the plastic surgeons. They're devilish. They turned my face into a thriller, thriller night. And no one's gonna save you from the beast about to strike. Come here, little children. Now's the time for you and I to huddle close together. Hee hee hee. Shamo. Oh, I wanna look right to my nose. Hee hee hee. Oh.
Who would dance? As I think we mentioned, the last plastic surgery you had, Jim, it affected the area around your mouth that allows you to say...
any other error.
Area, properly.
Mm. Any other error.
That's an upper lip thing, I think.
Is it?
Error. Okay, that's all for Dental Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. If you'd like more Jim Ward, Paul Drawl.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. You can find that on the Stephanie Miller website. There's a banner that takes you right there by the album, won't you?
I have a celebrity plastic surgery theme.
You
in
do?
Celebrity stack today.
Okay.
What is, who is the snarky website? I don't know who wrote this one. Usher celebrates wife's plastic surgery recovery with strippers.
Oh.
Like any good husband whose wife almost died trying to make herself look beautiful for you, Usher celebrated Tamika's recovery in Paris by surrounding himself with strippers and spraying them with champagne.
Oh, nice.
Which is pretty much the core to a successful marriage. Just ask my third wife when she's done packing her things and throwing my on the lawn. Theme continue, and perhaps someone that might need surgery of some sort.
Okay.
Jim, the headline is, and fill in your squeezy thoughts to yourself, world's most famous porn star gives birth to twins.
Hey now.
Porn superstar Jenna Jameson gave birth to twins. I'm just guessing there might need to be some sort of surgery of some sort.
Some sort of rejuvenation?
Some sort of rejuvenation. Or freshening up. She said,
What can I say on the air?
Written in her MySpace... Back in September.
Yeah, I'll bet. What a...
There's a lot of room. There's a lot of room in there, Mark.
There's a lot of other people's space.
That's a big space.
Over the years.
She wrote, I can't even express the extreme serenity that came over me once I saw my children inside me. Okay, just fill in your own thought bubble there and just tell it. We'll just move on from that. Some people feel a sense of serenity upon seeing things inside of them.
There's not a sense of... Serenity to Ron Jeremy's and said,
you know what? Did I tell you fill it in the thought bubble and you couldn't help yourself?
I don't know that she has filmed anything.
I don't think so. Is Ron Jeremy doing porn anymore?
I hope not.
Oof, because that's nasty of you.
Yeah.
Is. Wow. Okay.
Maybe his comic relief.
Yeah.
These are the things are bad. Things are bad out there, even for celebrities, Stack. James Bond, the supercar?
Yes.
It went for half price as the bank demanded the sale. The James Bond supercar, £250,000, $500,000, right?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I blame that Ponzi shot left at Daniel Craig. It devalued the whole franchise.
It was seized by the banks and it's been sold for half price. How'd you like to be the repo guy on the James Bond car?
Oh.
And you get shot by some poison dart or
whatever.
Something. I don't know. Yeah. All right. Oh, please break out the tiny celebrity violin. David Beckham's luxury cars, Jim, lost nearly £200,000 in value last year. Don't you hate when that happens?
I hate when that happens.
More than any other celebrity. In just 12 months, his two Bentleys decreased in value by £120,000.
It's tragic, really.
His Hummer H2 by about £55,000. And his Lamborghini. See, this is the thing I hate the most. You know what I mean? I'm fine with everything else.
Is devalued?
But when my Lamborghini gets devalued, I am... You know what? That's a bad day. All right.
Whatever.
I guess so.
Did they really put in this
economy...
I guess
you'll just have to drive the Ferrari.
Did they put these stories in the paper for us to hate celebrities more? It's like, oh, no.
It could be, yeah.
We can't afford... We're losing our house, and we can't afford health care for our kids. David, what? David Beckham's Lamborghini job. Is there no God? All right, 20 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the AIG mess and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Ethan in Sacramento on AIG. Hi, Ethan.
Good morning.
Good morning, Lai.
How are you doing?
You're the smartest 14-year-old in class today.
Woo-hoo! Okay.
Okay.
Hey, Stephanie, you know, a caller a few minutes ago said that that we shouldn't bail out these this AIG company. You know what? We need to. If we don't, you're exactly right. We're gonna be screwed. We're gonna get a global depression, and it's not gonna be easy to cover. Allow. Thanks, Mom. no, but you know, and I also agree with the caller though that says that they need to.
You know, John Boehner would sound a lot smarter if he had his mommy to help him. I you know what? You're man enough to admit that you need your mommy's help sometimes.
Okay.
See, liberal men are much more secure in their manhood.
But I agree with your caller that that people that gave out these bonuses to the CEOs need to be prosecuted.
Thank you, Ethan. All right.
Uh-huh.
You're the smartest boy ever. See? Well, sometimes Boehner does blubber that he needs his mommy at the end of one of his
projects.
I love
my mommy! The top of my list!
Was Ethan calling from Tel Aviv, by any chance?
Tel Aviv.
Listen, John Boehner's voice breaks when he's having a crying fit on the house floor.
I think the top of our list is providing for the safety and security of the American people. That's at the top of our list.
There's not much room at the top of his list because it seems like so many things have gotten to the top
yeah.
of his list that he's just writing over and over.
Selling the undercoating and the extended warranty.
But I mean the troops. Top of my list.
Mommy. Joanna in Boston on AIG. Hi, Joanna.
Hello. I just wanted to comment on something that Robert Reich was talking about on Keith Oberman
uh-huh.
a couple nights ago,
uh-huh.
which is that if AIG is so big that if it isn't bailed out, it's going to destroy our financial market, then it's too big.
Right.
And mm-hmm. it needs to be broken up.
Right, right.
And if it's broken up, maybe we can let pieces of it fail.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And other pieces of it, we could bail out maybe with not so much money
right.
and dealing with
right.
all of it.
You know, Joanna, that's a good point. If that's the root of the problem,
mm-hmm.
that we let these companies get too big, then that certainly
Break
seems like a logical solution.
Like
yeah.
Teddy Roosevelt, the trust buster.
Yeah, exactly. Joanna, sure. You're the smartest girl in class today.
Thank you.
How many of those participation ribbons are you going to give out today?
One smartest boy, one smartest girl. I'm done.
And one 14-year-old.
Unless someone says something smarter.
Exactly. We're running out of participation ribbons in the back closet.
I'm lousy with them.
In the prize closet.
I got a deal.
Well, let's
okay.
do some old Goldwater Miller slag. Swag.
Slag?
I just they were Goldwater Miller ribbons.
Goldwater Miller slag.
That's me. All right. Chuck Schumer on the AIG bonuses.
We will act, and we will take this money back and return it to its rightful owners, the American taxpayers. We will take this money back by taxing virtually all of it.
So, Christopher, you were expressing some disgruntlement with Tim Geithner. Republicans said Obama and his administration should have leaned harder on AIG executives to reject the bonuses. The complaint sparked a low-level hum about whether Tim Geithner could or should survive this latest political storm.
Well,
again, let's just review.
All right.
The Bush administration is the one that, that did the AIG bailout
yes.
originally.
However, Geithner, according, you know, I haven't read the Salon article, but according to the Salon article, I think it says that Geithner was a part of the negotiations when he was part of the New York Federal Reserve.
Right.
So he was knee deep in it. Both he and Summers were knee deep in the negotiations of it.
Let's
so.
Go with Jim's idea then. Let's fire them and get Krugman and who else?
Robert Reich.
Okay. There you go. There you go. Problem
okay.
solved.
Yeah,
okay.
Done.
Both of you, come in my office.
You're fired.
I'm getting drunk on power now. 28 minutes after the hour, back with much more on all this AIG stuff as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
The small wonder, the porta hottie.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim in Oklahoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on AIG. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Stephanie. My comment regarding the AIG bloating or getting as large as it is they're not covered under the Sherman Antitrust Act. So insurance companies are able to grow as enormous as they want to. So Congress needs to do something about that. Our former governor, Frank Keating, is the chief lobbyist for the insurance industry. I would hate for him to lose his job. He might come back to Oklahoma. But anyway, they need to be covered under the Sherman Antitrust Act.
Mm. All right. Thank you, honey. Good points. So Congress is moving fast to impose high surtaxes on the AIG bonuses recipients in an effort to recover the money. Harry Reid said Tuesday afternoon Democrats will send AIG a letter asking them to renegotiate the bonuses. If they don't, Max Baucus, he's the head of the Finance Committee, will introduce legislation seeking a 90% tax penalty on the bonuses. The idea for some type of fast-track legislation has been embraced by Democrats in both chambers. On the other side of the Capitol, though, Barney Frank is pushing a regulatory approach, which we talked about earlier, saying Treasury should pressure AIG to revoke the bonuses. He says, we're the owner of the company. I think it's time to exercise our ownership rights.
Yep.
Harry Reid had said, we as a Congress are not defenseless. Recipients of these bonuses will not be able to keep all of their money, and that's an understatement. Senator Chris Dodd yesterday.
This is Fed money, by and large. This started in September. Why wasn't the Fed putting conditionality? Four different times they provided resources to AIG over the last several months.
I think it was Ed Schultz was making good points yesterday on, who's our friend? David Schuster's show. David Schuster!
1600 Pennsylvania Avenue!
David Schuster, whom we know now and has been on this program. But, you know, again, this plan started under George Bush. And do you think George Bush was ever a fan of executives not getting bonuses? You know what I mean? It's just, you got to go back to the whole history of this thing. I don't know. Barney Frank, again, says the strongest case for getting those bonuses back is as the owner of the company rather than a regulator. So, obviously, people trying to figure out how to address this. Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa, where apparently this is not a dirty word.
From my standpoint, it's irresponsible for corporations to give bonuses at this time when they're so sucking the tit of the taxpayer.
Hello.
Hey, now. How did Dana Perino respond to that?
Ooh. Oh, my goodness.
Ooh. Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe in Iowa, you know, it's a farming thing.
Well, there's a teat on a cow, but...
Maybe it's pronounced...
Differently
in Iowa.
All right.
I'm sure that's
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us here on Farm Talk. if anyone from the FCC should be tuned in right now, Senator Chuck Grassley, you can send your letters there.
We're not coming out of Iowa.
You can't spell Grassley without ass.
There you go.
John in Buffalo on AIG. Hello, John.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Listen, what we're seeing is political theater. Of course they're going to get most of the $165 million back from U.S. nationals. The only ones that will be skipped are the foreigners. But this is pure theater. Congresswoman Spears touched on the real issue, which was the credit default swaps. You know, the insurance, basically. We don't know the extent of the fraud that was going on within AIG. We don't know who the players are. We don't know who's being paid off. But this is smoke. Everybody can express outrage and avoid the real underlying issue.
Which is
that there's a whole lot of fraud that nobody is talking about and nobody is investigating, and AIG is just the tip of it. The Bernanke loaned out $2 trillion in 2 months last year, and he's not saying who got the money or what the terms were.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a gigantic fraud. It's probably the largest fraud perpetrated in the history of the human race.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's focused on $165 measly million dollars.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I hear you.
Mm. It is a very, very small part of what AIG.
I do get tired of the Congress people knocking each other out of the way to express the populist rage. There must be a thesaurus, because somebody gets outrageous every day and somebody gets appalling, and you know, there's only so many words to go around.
Right. Somebody in Congress made it possible for these sort of things to happen.
Uh-huh. Representative Mike Pence, Republican of Indiana.
No more bailouts. No more executive bonuses. No more handing out of federal tax dollars to foreign corporations. The American people have had it.
And Senator Mitch McConnell, I guess he's speaking about the Bush administration, who is the one that started the AIG bailout.
You know, once that money was handed over to AIG, the leverage was lost.
Oops.
Last September, that would be.
Yes.
In the previous administration.
Okay, let's try Jan. Is it Jan? Jan in Chicago on AIG. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Steph.
Hello.
I was just going to add a little comment that I'd say it was about 10 days before Obama was sworn in, I heard on Progressive Talk Radio that Bush had added a clause to guarantee the bonuses to the AIG.
Ay vey.
So that'd be something really interesting to check into to see if that's true, because here they're laying blame on you-know-who. So.
Yeah, I mean, they really think our memory is that short, Jen. Like, we really don't realize that these bailouts started under George Bush. Mm-hmm. These are not, you know, Obama is dealing with a lot of, you know, unfinished business. Senator Mitch McChinless again.
I'd like a full explanation of is how the Department of the Treasury handed over $30 billion a mere 2 weeks ago and didn't have any idea that this outrage was going to occur.
2 weeks ago. Yeah, I guess that's when it started, really. It was
just
2 weeks ago.
Yes. You know, there's another thing he'd really like to know, Jim, and that's why there was no money in this to get him an upper lip.
I need a bailout to complete my facial structure. I have no upper lip. Unfortunately, went to Michael Jackson's plastic
surgery. Maybe it's a birth
defect.
I'm just saying, if you've ever seen him on television, can you detect lips anywhere? No.
Computer says no.
Maybe it's a...
That was immature.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm in a populist frenzy.
Okay.
Sanchez and Montebello, hola, que tal? Adios, mio, mi amigo.
If you or someone you know is abusing boxed wine and your dog's tranquilizers, and you'd like to talk to Dr. Mamacita about it, call the new Mamacita y los Mookies show hotline at 1-800-MAMACITA-12 and tell us about it.
Thank you.
Hey, Mamacita.
Hello. Hola.
What was the name of that very, very intelligent caller that called in last hour and gave us the tip on the salon.com article?
Yeah. Chris didn't read it yet, so...
You're fired.
Well, I've actually
too busy
read
doing
it.
Jury duty.
I've actually read it, and right now I feel like a sheeple with my butt in a sling. I feel like absolutely frustrated and exactly, and frustrated and helpless at this point. But at this point, I'm having to agree with him in saying that Geithner's got to go on this one. This is like a major, major error. There's one paragraph here, if I can just read it really quick.
Okay.
Mr. Reed, Harry Reid, he's talking about here, mostly ducked a question about whether Democrats had missed an opportunity to prevent the bonuses because of a clause in the economic stimulus bill, part of an amendment by Senator Christopher J. Dodd, Democrat of Connecticut, that imposed limits on executive compensation and bonuses, but made an exception for pre-existing employment contracts. Now, this was the exact provision that Geithner and Summers demanded and Dodd opposed, and that's the killer part right there. So, anyway, I have one thing to cheer everybody up here.
Yes.
I just heard that some of the executives who cashed their bonus checks, some of the AIG people, started a new record label and are putting out a real corporate gangsta album. You know what they're calling it?
What is it?
Notorious AIG.
I with the flaming with the Okay. Hmm. All right. Jim was pointing out earlier that, speaking of songs, that Alanis Morissette needs to write an entirely new one. Because you see many of the people, Jim, that got the retention bonuses... They're gone now.
Yes.
They took the word retention means to retain.
$11 billion, I'm walking away. Oh, thanks. See ya.
Bye-bye. Isn't it ironic? It really is. 42 minutes after the hour. Right back with the latest on the AIG mess as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
So, who is responsible for these outrages?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 46 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hey, everybody. It's right wing Jan in Amherst up the transit from Mama's hometown of Lackport, New York. Hey, Jan.
Do I really sound like that?
Yeah. You kind of do.
Sorry. You know, we're sort of Midwestern out here in upstate New York. Hey, I want to stir the pot just a little bit.
Oh, you mean more than when you said that we got in this mess because of a room full of black guys? More than that?
Well, that was awful gratuitous, Steph. Would you allow me to make my
point?
Yes,
go ahead.
Thank you. Listen, AIG is what is in what's called a wind down. AIG is not going to be around next year, guys. It's impossible for them to be able to pay anything back to the government, because what they did was they did not put away reserves for the insurance they wrote against these bundled mortgages. It doesn't get complicated. That's why when you see money thrown overseas to all these other Deutsche Bank and all these UBSs and all that, the purpose was to make sure that the obligations were fulfilled, not for any other reason. Because if in fact AIG, this huge insurer, would not have made good on their obligations, no one would have insured anything through us any longer. And it's how complicated and simple it is, guys. And as far as AIG contributions to political figures, I don't think you will find a Republican within the top 20 of them. So you're talking Chris Dodd and Barack Obama were the number one and number two contributors from, got the most contributions from AIG.
Oh, dear God. Are you going to... So,
how does a Republican
wait a minute
involved in what AIG did? That's all I'm asking, guys. And with what your...
Republicans had nothing to...
That guy, he made a point where Chris got protected AIG bonuses, and now they're feigning this, oh, gosh, we're so distraught. He caused it, Steph. Please, guys. And it's more complicated than that.
Wait a minute. Are you really going to try to sit here and tell me that... George Bush was a big fan of cutting bonuses for executives. The AIG bill went through with, on his watch.
It's a non sequitur to what I'm discussing.
No, it's not.
Why? This is a company that was deeply embroiled with Christopher Dodd when it was Countrywide. They got the sweetheart mortgage. Then Countrywide was sold. See, I really defy...
John, I'm not saying that all Democrats are blameless in any of this, but this bailout started under George Bush.
Of course it did. That's simply a chronological thing. You know, there was a clarion call for the breakup of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac a long, long, long,
oh,
long
God,
time
all
ago.
Right. Here we go again with that talking point. Fannie, like, that's the entire the story is Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and Barney Frank. And,
whatever.
And Flavin.
And the Flavin, exactly. Rose in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Rose.
Got a couple of points for your little buddy there who's a little crazy. Number one, we had a law that would break up big corporations before they got too big, right up until the time that Ronald Reagan got his hands on the country.
Yep.
Secondly, the first part of bailout wording included a passage that said that there was to be no compensation, you know, everything but paying people would be included in there. And George Bush put in a little X mark and put in some wording that said, yeah, you can pay people with this money.
Right. Exactly. And, well, that's the point.
You know,
right.
All of this crap that about the free market, well, I think everybody has seen what the free market has done. They need to reinstate all of the laws that were put in the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
Because greed is the word of the day for Wall Street.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Rose.
Unfortunately, Bill Clinton did sign the repeal of...
As someone pointed out earlier. Yeah. Yep. Craig in Chicago on AIG. Hi, Craig. Welcome.
Hi. Three things. One, right-wing Jan is wrong. The AIG was not that heavily involved in insuring the mortgage-backed securities. Almost every penny that we've given them has gone to pay out credit default swaps on Lehman Brothers. Lehman Brothers had about $50 billion in debt that had about $150 to $200 billion worth of swaps written against it, which is like me insuring your million-dollar house for $4 million, even though I don't own it. The question is, why was Lehman Brothers allowed to fail? Why, of all the banks under George Bush that could have failed, why was it Lehman? Why was it Lehman that had most of these swaps written against it to the hedge funds run by Prince Bandar and Deutsche Bank and Goldman Sachs and all these other people? The investigation doesn't need to be of AIG. The investigation needs to be of how was Lehman Brothers allowed to fail, why was it allowed to fail, and what went on during the Bush administration that caused us to have to pay $250 billion.
Right. You raise a good point. The fact that we let Lehman Brothers fail, we're still paying in some ways for them, right?
We're paying several
through AIG
because there were about $170 billion worth of swaps written on a $50 billion debt, which means that if we would just put a save Lehman, at worst we would have paid out 50. By letting them fail, you have this massive transfer of wealth from ordinary Americans to people like Prince Bandar and the Saudi hedge funds, the Chinese hedge funds, and these other people that had bought all these credit, and Goldman Sachs, of course, let's not forget our friends there, who had bought all these credit default swaps. And that is the crux of the matter, is why was Lehman allowed to fail? Why was their mistake allowed to multiply? And why are we having this massive transfer of wealth out of the country? And that's what I want to see investigated, and that's what we should all be shouting for.
All right, honey, got
Who is tight with the Saudis? Oh, yeah, the Bush family.
Oh, wait a minute. What was his nickname? Bandar Bush,
yes.
I believe. He was so close to the Bush family. Scott in Chicago on AIG. Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. How are you doing this morning?
Go ahead.
Great show this morning so far. You know, I'm
I would listen. I just would say so far. It can all go awry at any minute, as you know.
Well, you know, Chris is walking out the door to jury duty any moment, you know?
I am.
I'm a little embarrassed, you guys. You know, I'm originally from Iowa, and I just got to say, Chuck Grassley really needs to shut the hell up.
But it's funny. He said some funny things.
Sound like, you know, people have this thing about Iowans anyway, and they think we're a bunch of podunk hicks.
Right.
They don't understand we're the highest educated people in the United States. And he's not helping the situation anymore. You know, he's really hurting it.
And oh, he's bringing out the Beavis and Butthead in us. Come on.
From my standpoint, it's irresponsible for corporations to give bonuses at this time when they're so sucking the tit of the taxpayer.
All right, Scott, go ahead.
It's not teat, it's
oh, okay,
it's
okay.
Tit,
oh,
know,
okay,
but
thank you.
That is a country thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, you know, when we're on the farm, we kind of, we slide our words.
There you go. Well, you're a little bit country and I'm a little bit rock and roll, so together it's,
yeah.
All right.
I'm related with the Doobie Brothers.
Senator Richard Shelby, Republican of Alabama.
Who knew this? Did the secretary know this and look the other way? Or do you think this was okay in view of $170 billion? It was not okay.
Yeah, why weren't they screaming about it when George Bush was president?
Yeah.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Such a long time ago, I wonder. We've gotten to that point in every crisis facing America where it's time to ask, what would the boner do?
Oh.
Mm. 2 weeks ago, the president's spokesman said that they were confident that they knew how every dime was being spent at AIG. But clearly, they didn't know what they were talking about.
And now it's time for another episode of America's favorite wacky sitcom, What a Boner!
Shouldn't it be at the top of his list
it
to
should
find
be.
Out what...
It should have been.
Let's get that money back for the American people. Let's go to Vince in Chicago on the AIG thing. Hello, Vince.
Hey, I think the royalties and government should give back all their salaries, from King Obama all the way down to the court jesters there, your Iowa guy or whatever his name is, Shermer, all those guys. They should get back the $93,000 they stole from the stimulus bill.
What are you talking about? What $93,000?
Well, they added $93,000 to their expense accounts.
Oh, all right. Well, I have no time for small ball this morning, Vince, but thank you for calling. Mark in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, guys. I just want to know, we're supposed to have an SEC that's supposed to police the integrity of the market.
Mm-hmm.
So where the heck have they been?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if you look at Madoff, they say that they missed Madoff for 9 years, even though you had a guy like Harry Markopoulos telling them what stones to look under and give them express. What people don't understand, in 2005, the SEC dropped an investigation into AIG that made AIG look like Enron on crystal meth. And, you know, so we need to find out who pulled the trigger to get that thing pulled. Like, you know, recently Stanford Financial, we just found out that had been stopped. Fannie Mae had been stopped. Bear Stearns had been stopped, all in that 2005-2006. And what they were talking about AIG under Hank Greenberg was sham insurance transactions, hiding losses overseas, you know, overstated profits. Why wasn't that, you know, why weren't people put to jail? We have to look again, too. Sarbanes-Oxley, as a result of Enron and WorldCom, why has corporate fraud and crime exploded after the enactment of Sarbanes-Oxley?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Was that a PR stunt or a red herring? And that's what people need to be upset about. All of this should have been averted or mitigated long ago, but the SEC, for some reason, stopped doing its job, and those people need to be held accountable.
I have a question, Mark. Why can't my listeners be in charge of things? You're smarter than everybody I've heard talk about this put together.
Well,
you're like Columbo. Look at you. And just one more question.
Voltaire said, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong.
Yeah, thank you. Right. And he got in a quote, Voltaire. Okay, well, he gets the smartest guy in class, whoever that last guy was.
Even Jim doesn't do Voltaire quotes.
Yeah, that was a, the last guy.
I
was
have
a,
in the past.
I would like for the first time to revoke when the smartest boy in the whoever I gave it to earlier
Ethan.
Was a, that was a stump. Yeah, this is, this guy is a, all right. Comedian Michael McDonald, stand-up news and much more next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, who is not here this hour because he failed to follow Homer Simpson's advice on getting out of jury duty.
The trick is to say you're prejudiced against all races.
Thank you. We gave him a number of ways that he did not use. Executive producer, voice DD Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. You know, Jim, if I've said it, well, you know me. If I've said it once, I've said it a million times. I love me some Michael McDonald.
Yeah, both with and without the Doobies.
No.
He's not related, but they...
Doobie Brothers. Yeah. Not that one, the funny one. Come on. Why? Who could it possibly be, I wonder? Oh, Chris isn't here, so I'm going to guess it's Michael McDonald. Good morning, Michael McDonald.
How are you both today?
We're thrilled to be with you, as always, honey.
And I you, but I got to tell you, that's a pretty depressing intro song you have, that Walking on Sunshine. What a downer.
We're the home of happy, clappy liberalism, as you know. Michael, it's long time no see. And I must say, I've been thinking of you lately, because, you know, my favorite Mad TV character of yours, the Stuart.
Aw.
The fearful child. I think that's the way we all feel in this economy, isn't it?
It is. I don't want the economy to touch me.
Exactly. I shrink in horror.
The news in the morning with all the congressmen and senators, their outrage, and they have these big long speeches, and then they kind of lay that question out. And now that I've said how angry I am, how could this have happened? And the response is, well, you guys let it.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, yes, it was me. Forget it.
It kind of is like a Mad TV sketch, just them stomping over each other to be the one to express more populist outrage.
Yeah, there's really no parody to be had. It's all there.
Exactly. It's like Sarah Palin. You just do the actual transcripts.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what I would. Now, you're doing, I know, some shows out at the Irvine Improv.
I am. I'm going back to my hometown roots of Orange County, and I'm going to do shows Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night.
That's right. Go to improv.com for tickets. But that's what I would advise you to do, is just to do some sort of populist blather about AIG.
That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to have blind outrage about everyone and everything. And I'm going to play both sides of the argument. But say that I'm on their side.
Exactly. Do you talk politics at all?
A little bit. I'm kind of more current events than actual politics, because for me anyway, I think in a stand-up club with a bunch of drunk people, the last thing you need is telling people that their politics are wrong.
Yeah.
Although if you're clever, you can get them to laugh at something that they think is
right.
Funny.
And what's easier comedy than really complex financial transactions?
And it's hilarious to a bunch of drunk 25-year-olds.
Credit default swaps. I'm just saying.
Any punchline that includes the word Deutsche Bank, I think, tends to kill.
That's just... right. That is right.
That's what we say.
Deutsche Bank.
Yeah, Jim, pronounce it in the Jerry Lewis style.
Deutsche Bank.
There you go. Now, Michael, what sort of current events are piquing your interest these days?
Well, you know, there's, of course, always Octomom, which, that's a gift that keeps on giving.
See, I think Angelina Jolie is copying her, because I've heard she's pregnant again.
Really?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it could be single white female, and we've got the wrong culprit.
Oh, maybe. We should just put them, like, in two cages like hens and just with a counter of the eggs that are dropping.
I think she's got a This Space for Rent sign in front of her hoo-ha.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, what's your take on the Octave Mom? That's really, wow, right? I mean,
well,
it's...
I'll tell you what I think of just one thing, which is, I don't know if you guys noticed how it looks like a lot of people speculate she had plastic surgery on her
yeah.
lips.
That or she, you know, she suck starts Buicks regularly, something.
I think, and can I be medical?
Yes.
I think she actually didn't have plastic surgery. It's just she developed a second vagina because the first one just said, I'm out. I'm done.
You're bad, Michael McDonald.
That's awful. Is that printable or airable?
we'll fix that in post.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, don't you worry about it. It's not live.
It's very medical.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
As long as you use the Latin word.
Right.
Fine. Yes.
And what else?
Okay.
I don't, because I'm a big political geek. I only watch the cable news, basically. What else is going on in the world of television these days and reality TV and all that?
Well,
what do you watch?
You know, what I'm watching these days, of course, anything involving murder or Judge Judy. Which
yes.
Really, I kind of wish Judge Judy was president or Queen King, whatever you call it, just because I don't know if she's ever said anything I thought was wrong. She was on Larry King. Did you see that?
Yeah.
And she just cracks me up because she is such I almost said a dirty word.
Oh.
She's such a tough lady I like a tough lady.
Yes.
That's what I'd like to see.
Okay, I think the nightclub version of that is probably funnier. Okay.
but we're picking
up what you're laying down, Mr. McDonald.
Thank you so much. You've got your fingers just on hair trigger on that bleeper button.
Yes,
it?
I certainly do. Okay.
What are you watching on TV these days? Are you watching American Idol, or are you just the news girl?
I've caught the occasional American Idol. What's going on with that? Who's the new sensation?
Well, there's always this strange thing where they you can tell they're always trying to promote like a little balance between the women, or between if there are racial things, or if there's maybe like, maybe I don't know, maybe somebody's gay or something. And it's fascinating to watch them try and keep it all TV friendly and or, you know, like family friendly, but try and score little points. And you'll see them like praise somebody like, well, I think that given with your personal style that is perhaps out of, how shall I say, a married person who is from middle America, what they might think, I like you. Like,
that's just some sort of politically correct tap dance. Yes, let's make it all vanilla.
Randy Travis was really freaked out by that one guy last night.
How about that? Don't you wish there was like a thought bubble over Randy Travis?
Oh, what the hell's wrong with this fella?
What the F is happening? What? Who is this? Why am I hugging this thing?
Is that a gal or a fella? I can't tell.
I don't know whether to bow or curtsy. What do I do?
They need to make diversity seem family-friendly and bubblegummy.
Yes.
even though in their heart of hearts they think it's kind of icky.
Yes, and by kind of, very.
Exactly. Michael McDonald, it will be at the Improv if you're out here in California, at the Irvine Improv Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. You can go to theimprov.com to find out how to get tickets. Michael, you are delightful.
Thank you so much for having me, and I'd love to come see you in the studio sometime, because I need to see what you're wearing.
Listen, honey, every time I run into you in the B-Celebrity gym, I you know, I hit on you. So
there... But you're not a B-Celebrity. You're a B-plus.
Oh, honey, thank you so...
And I'm a C-minus, so we average a B.
Listen, neither of us is Fabio, who also works out at our gym, and that's the important thing.
Yes.
All right. Michael, I'll see you. I'll just come in the studio anytime.
All right. If not, I'll see you on the treadmill.
All right, honey. See you. Bye-bye.
Bring your treadmill here.
He does. That might be Celebrity Jam. Yeah. All right. Let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we, Kim? Here we go.
Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person Stephanie Miller.
By the way, the Stephanie Miller Show does not necessarily think the Octomom has grown a second vagina. That was for Michael McDonald's thoughts alone. And send your cards and letters to him. Our top story, President Barack Obama pushed back Tuesday against criticism. He's trying to take on too many issues at once, and he's bewildering and confusing Eric Cantor. He's defending a $3.6 trillion budget that seeks to shore up the economy while also overhauling health care, energy, and education. Huh? Can you do all that at once? He said to kick these problems down the road for another 4 years or another 8 years would be to continue the same irresponsibility that led us to this point. That's not why I ran for this office. I didn't come here to pass our problems on to the next generation or the next president. The American people don't have the luxury of just focusing on Wall Street. They don't have the luxury of choosing to pay their mortgage or their medical bills. They don't get to pick between paying their kids college tuition or saving enough money for retirement. They have to do all these things. They have to confront all these problems and a consequence. So do we. Hear, hear.
Retirement.
Yeah, good luck with that. We have the rest of the president's thoughts.
Holy crap. I knew it was going to be bad before I took office. But sweet Jiminy Christmas on a bicycle. The pile of crap they left me to clean up would fill the Sears Tower right to the top. And then some. The war, the economy, the banks, the healthcare system, education. Is there anything these yutzes didn't break? I'm going to be shoveling for the next 4 years. And I already know there isn't a pony. Fortunately, Rush Limbaugh had one thing right. I am Barack the Magic Negro. And it's going to take all my mojo to put things to right. But I tell you something else. It's going to be a lot easier if I don't have a swarm of Republican tight-ass dweebs like Eric Cantor and the Boner getting all up in my grill and snapping the collar about doing too much. I know your lazy congressional butts aren't used to doing more than getting on TV and playing with yourselves in public, but I can chew gum and take a jump shot at the same time. So get down in the paint with me or step off. This Obama's made for walking, and right now he's going to walk all over you, biatches. Everybody chill. I got this.
I would actually like to see him call congresspeople biatches. Listen, Eric Cantor, you biatch. And finally, the headline is, Star Wars scientists create laser gun to kill mosquitoes. Cool. Scientists in the U.S. are developing a laser gun that could kill millions of mosquitoes in minutes. The laser, which has been dubbed a weapon of mosquito destruction. Oh, scientists. That's funny. It fires at mosquitoes once it detects the audio frequency created by the beating of the wings. The laser beam that destroys the mosquito, burning it on the spot, developed by some of the astrophysicists involved in what was known as the Star Wars anti-missiles program during the Cold War. The project is meant to prevent the spread of malaria. It was originally funded by Bill Gates. Who do we have?
Actually, this is a different version of that same story with the chief scientist from the
Star Wars. Yes, we have the chief scientist.
We in the so-called Star Wars anti-missile project are terribly proud to announce a stunning breakthrough in the science of mosquito eradication. Using the same cutting-edge technology we brought to bear to secure our national security and bolster our defensive capabilities, we have developed a laser weapon that can shoot mosquitoes right out of the air by the thousands. How many... Have we actually hit in our tests? Let me see. Five. Yes, I said five. Damn it. Yeah, well, it represents a 500% increase in our hit rate from before when we only shot down one of the test target missiles. When we rigged it so it'd be really easy to... what? Yes, the mosquitoes are actually carrying a transponder with a homing signal so the laser could zero in on them. You do what it takes. And so now, instead of relying on low-tech measures like swatting and spraying, now we have a real nifty science gadgety thingy we can play with. All we do now is catch the skeeter, slap a transponder thing on him, let him loose, set up the laser, and zowie, skeeter fries! No, we don't have any worries that Congress won't appropriate money for this. He'll bankroll anything. Hey, if I were you, I'd seriously be looking in investing in tiny harness futures. Just saying.
That's all for stand-up news I'm here all week. Yeah, you know how hard it is to get a transponder on a mosquito?
Yeah.
Harder than finding mothballs. You know what I'm saying? That's
mothballs.
To get the legs apart to even get the little harness on them is... If you'd like more Jim Ward, Paul Drawl.
Yeah, check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True. There's a banner ad on the Stephanie Miller website, which, oddly enough, is stephaniemiller.com.
Weird. 20 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the AIG mess and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Remember, you heard it on this channel first.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You know, a lot of people competing to be smartest person in class this morning, Jim. Somebody wrote to us
I
with
think,
some...
Megan Asheville.
Megan Asheville with some AIG fun facts.
Yes. Most of all, our largest banks have toxic assets in their balance sheets. She writes, these assets are insured by AIG. If AIG fails, then they will have to reassess the value of those assets. If this happens, then many of the banks will lose more than half their assets on their balance sheet, which means they won't have the money to pay back all the people who put money in the bank. They will be insolvent. So, anyway.
That'd be bad.
It gets.
Thank you, Meg. All right.
The whole banking system.
Right, because we had a caller earlier that said AIG should be allowed to fail. All right, Eric in Jacksonville, Florida on AIG. Hi, Eric.
Hello. You know, the gentleman who called earlier regarding the campaign contributions, he ought to turn off Faux News and watch CNN.
I know. Well, exactly. To make this like, so-and-so got a campaign contribution from it. It's like, that doesn't mean they're responsible for this entire problem, you know.
Right. Both parties got campaign contributions, and Bush himself received over $200,000 from AIG.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And
Which is twice what Chris Dodd got.
And if you'd like to review, it was under George Bush that this AIG bailout happened.
And, of course, they gave more to Democrats than Republicans because they saw the writing on the wall. They saw who was going to be winning.
Right, right.
Which doesn't mean that, yeah.
All right. Let's go to Kathy in Chicago on the very same subject. Hi, Kath.
Okay, AIG Board of Directors in 2008. Here's the crooks. Fred H. Langhammer gave $2,100 to McCain. Martin Feldstein, $2,000. Richard C. Holbrooke, $4,600 to Clinton. And coming in last place is President Obama with $1,000 from George Miles Jr.
Right. So okay. He got the least amount of the... Yeah.
And the major health, the revenue for AIG at the end of 2006 was $113 million, and our profits were $14 million. John McCain accepted 7 checks, amount not listed, lobbyist bundling from 7 different insurance companies: Blue Cross, AMN, Amerisure, Federation of America, Direct Med.
Right, but you know the other thing, Kath, is that this is not even the issue. You're right. This is just stuff for Fox News to go, to make it look like somehow Obama's in bed with AIG and that's how this happened, and but yada yada yada. Frank in Chicago on AIG. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Steph.
Hi, go ahead.
We all have to take a deep breath and consider that it could take forensic accountants a year or two to tear apart a corporation and find out where every dollar went.
Yeah.
AIG had the budget of a small country.
Yeah, listen, I've got a friend who can't track her ex-husband's assets. I can only imagine what it's going to take to figure this all out. Mm-hmm.
But we still don't know where all of Bernie Madoff's money is. How could we expect to know where AIG's money went unless they volunteered the information?
Yep, absolutely. All right. Ed Gillespie in the Situation Room about the AIG mess.
My concern and what I'm concerned about in terms of the rhetoric coming out of the White House is this language, new sheriff in town and lawlessness, and they're not accepting responsibility for having signed a provision that specifically exempted AIG, and I think they need to be a little more accountable in that regard.
Didn't someone tell us earlier, Jim, it was actually George Bush that put the clause in originally?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on AIG. Hello, Kev.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hello, baby.
Hey, I'm rather long-winded, so I couldn't fit everything I wanted to say, actually, in the time I have remaining. And a lot of people took my points, but it's all good. I will simply say that all this speechifying about the Obama administration just shows me the projection. I'm particularly interested in the fact that they mock Obama, labeling him, the Messiah and all that. But aren't these hypocrites the same people who worship Reagan, a man who hasn't even been in office for over 20 years and hasn't been even on the earth for nearly 10?
Right. And as one of our, I think it was our congressperson first pointed out on our show, the Glass-Steagall Act, or am I saying that right?
Yes.
Sorry. Yes. That's one of the big reasons for the mess we're in now. And that happened under Reagan. They're Messiah, right?
Exactly. Who was it? I think it was Rahm Emanuel that said they hope that people have a mass case of amnesia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're going to try to do this, you should at least wait like 4 years when we're not still living what we just experienced from Bush.
Yep, absolutely, honey. All right, 28 minutes after the hour, back with more on the AIG mess, the new budget, the economy, and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Now I'm off the pill.
Stephanie Miller.
Live. Oh, it's going to be raunchy.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Beth in Minneapolis on AIG. Hi, Beth.
Good morning, Steffi.
Good morning.
I wanted to call because I know this sounds a little strange, but I'm always looking at the subliminal things when I meet somebody or I'm trying to decide what that person means,
right?
Really. And so I look people in the eye and see if I can tell if they're telling me the truth. And I remember the news conference that Henry Paulson and Nancy Pelosi had to announce that they had come to an agreement on that first TARP bill. And I remember them walking down the sidewalk toward the microphones. And I thought, this is so strange because Henry Paulson looks just like he was the cat who swallowed the canary. He just looked like he was barely able to control himself. He was just like a little kid, so excited.
Right.
And he kept furtively glancing over at Nancy Pelosi, and he kept kind of looking, you know, quickly up. I mean, it just was so unusual. And I mentioned that.
Yeah, remember that in the Newsweek cover, King Henry? You're like, that's an awful lot of power to give one man.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I mean, he had to know exactly what was going on and who was getting that money.
Right. Absolutely. Never did like that, Mr. Hanky, the Christmas Treasury poo, Jim. Let's go to Victor.
Hidey-ho.
Exactly. Victor in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Fairness Doctrine. Hi, Victor.
Hey, how you are? I'm in Michigan today.
Okay, thank you. I see that on my GPS here. Okay.
Mm-hmm. About the Fairness Doctrine, I was on my way to Saginaw from Detroit yesterday, and I was about 40 miles north of the Big Beaver Corridor. You all faded out, and I tried to find you again. And I found Rush Limbaugh on no more than 6 to 7 stations.
Yeah, you can drive across the country and never lose Rush Limbaugh. You will hear him, yeah.
Yeah, but it was on, you know, 7 stations in one corridor. So I'm in 100% support of what you all are trying to do.
Thank you, honey. Well, I just did a panel on the Fairness Doctrine. And, I think it can be summed up best. I asked this one, it's a big syndicator of right-wing shows. I said, let me ask you a question. I had the ratings right in front of me. I said, how come I'm beating the show you syndicate in my time slot in pretty much every major market? And that show's on, I don't know, 300-400 stations, and I'm on maybe 60. How is that fair? And they can't answer it. They can't, you know, and then you go, this is what is getting Democratic senators' attention, you know, is how come stations are dropping the format when number
when it's
one.
Working.
Yeah, stuff like number one in the market, stuff like that. That's, you know, it's a pretty clear case.
Obviously, it's something other than the profit motive that's motivating them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Frank, don't get on my issue. I get all riled up. Frank in Manassas, Virginia.
Okay, well, thanks. Hopefully this won't rile you up anymore, except for the fact that, sometimes civil libertarians have to stick up for even the unpopular people. And this feigned outrage about these bonuses is just unbelievably ridiculous and hypocritical. And we have a bunch of Republican and Democrat politicians just standing behind trying to cover their butt for a huge mistake that they made. When TARP, AIG never hid the fact that they had these bonuses out there. Chris Dodd, Barney Frank, George Bush, Bush's people, they all knew about it.
It was put in early 2008, this bonus clause.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And Chris Dodd slipped something in the stimulus bill, of all things. And last I checked, he was a Democrat, so everybody's to blame here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He slipped something into the stimulus bill affirming these things. I mean, so, you know, don't...
Well, I feel like on our side, at least we're intellectually honest enough to say that. I mean, I literally listened to a segment of Sean Hannity's show yesterday where he literally says Bush inherited a recession from Clinton and Gore, and this is the Obama recession, and literally, I mean, they will not admit that George Bush did anything wrong, that it has anything to do with any of this, or deregulation, or it's really stunning. All right, Rich Lowry on the Brett Baer show.
Our politics is in the grip of an often witless populism, which is why we're obsessed over 0.097% of the AIG bailout. But what the administration risks here is that this becomes not just an issue of populist outrage directed at AIG, but a question of the administration's competence.
Except that most people know that the AIG bailout started under George Bush. Okay. Hannity again. With the...
The White House was also caught red-handed today as the public learned that the AIG bonuses were not new. They first came to the attention of the Bush administration last September, and apparently Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner, well, he knew about them last week. The president had promised to address the issue of executive compensation, but administration officials still appeared on the Sunday shows last weekend and feigned outrage, pretending that they had just learned about this entire debacle.
You know, Jim, I'm not sure your thoughts on Tim Geithner, but I actually liked your idea earlier that maybe it's time for Geithner and Summers to both go bye-bye and bring in Krugman and Robert Reich.
Yeah.
That's our recommendation this hour. All right, Hannity on Geithner.
And tonight in Your America, Tim Geithner helped orchestrate the billion-dollar bailout for AIG last fall. Well, now, with details of massive bonuses being paid to their executives, maybe it's time for the Treasury Secretary to go.
Well, you know what? There's the difference. We may have oddly come to some sort of agreement on something. However, Sean Hannity, it's because it's political gotcha. And for us, it's because it might be better for the country to have Paul Krugman in charge. Point
They're unhappy now. We have Paul Krugman and...
James Carville on the Situation Room.
What I would love to know, anybody would like to know, how could the United States of America in the year 2008 find itself in a position where one company, one CEO, and one board would be in a position to ruin our entire financial system and hold every taxpayer in this country hostage? I mean, it is absolutely absurd, and I think people are livid about this. They want answers, and you're right. If we own 80% of it, then, you know, let's take a meat cleaver and go through there and clean that place out.
I'm not sure if he means fire people or break up the company, but that was also, I thought, an idea today, Jim. But that's if the meat problem cleavers, is that it's gotten too big, then let's break it up.
Break it up.
Yeah.
That's what Robert
Whether it's
said.
With a meat cleaver or a samurai sword or, you know, some weapon of some sort. Not literally. Okay. Mark in Illinois has a poem. You have a poem for the boner. Hello, Mark.
Good morning, my muse. It's Nipsey Russell here.
Hello, Nipsey.
The Republican leader of the House is a bourbon-soaked, bleary-eyed, blubbering souse. He stamps his feet and pounds his fist, slurring. Sarkarin is at the top of our list. Applied to his face is a curious potion of Pam cooking spray and tanning lotion. Dear John, please abstain. Seek out a liver donor. Dry your tears. Wash off that bronzing toner. And for God's sake, join AA, you drunken boner.
All right. Thank you, sir. That's actually very good. All right. Fina in Oakland on AIG. Hey, Fina.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I was calling because I'm really upset. I mean, this whole thing started with Bernanke and Paulson and J.P. Morgan and their horrible tax plan that was really only a couple of pages long, had no oversight or judicial review, and it wasn't until the Democrats questioned them that they became a little bit more serious.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this was Paulson and the Republicans that put this into play, and it seems like we're suffering from some sort of lack of short-term memory.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's what I think they're hoping, is that we just kind of take their version of events, like this all just started 4 weeks ago, you know?
Right. And, you know, I think this is like deja vu from the Great Depression, because the ones that made a killing were the banks, including J.P. Morgan, whose grandson, J.P. Morgan, is on the board of the Federal Reserve. I mean, this is outrageous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. All right. When we come back, the president talking about the economy, his new budget, and his apparently his hyperactivity that is confusing, befuddling and confusing Eric Cantor. Because he's trying to solve too many problems at once.
He's doing too much stuff. I can't follow it.
42 minutes after the hour, right back with that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is wild. I never heard anything like this in my life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 46 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Cynthia in Seattle on AIG. Hi, Cynthia.
Stephanie, we love you long time.
I love me some Seattle right back.
The previous caller saying that Chris Dodd protected the AIG bonuses was incorrect. It's all over Media Matters. That is a lie put out by Rush Limbaugh and Fox News. He actually, the amendment he put in was against the bonuses. So I just wanted to make that correction.
It's just a little slip up. I'm sure it was inadvertent. Yeah. Yes.
Totally by accident, I'm sure.
Yeah. All right, honey. Thank you. Let's go to, boy. Once again, not two sets of facts, one set of facts. Then we can argue about what the right thing is to do. Ari in Eureka on AIG. Hi, Ari.
Hold on a minute.
Hello.
Love you. Uh-huh. Listen, I think we should stop worrying about the AIG bonuses and go look for the $8 billion of cold, hard cash they lost in Iraq. Where is that money?
Yeah. How many times have we asked that during the Bush administration? Where is the outrage about fill in the blank?
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
I mean, we got robbed blind during the Bush years. What's that?
I said, tell Janiqua to watch out. I'm in love with Jim.
Oh, well, who? Get in line. All right. All right. I don't know. I guess this is all they're left with, Jim, is the president is doing too much.
Doing stuff. Just stand still. You don't know what to do when you're doing all that stuff. We can't come up with reasons why you shouldn't be doing it.
Can I just say something? He's not the Messiah, Jim, but he is better than most of us. He's smarter. He's better. He's a little like a superhero. He can do stuff. He is Spider-Man. Okay. The president yesterday.
What I say is that the challenges we face are too large to ignore. The cost of our health care is too high to ignore. The dependence on oil is too dangerous to ignore. Our education deficit is growing too wide to ignore.
Yeah, and as we were saying, it's like the old, the hip bones connected to the, because the health care is connected to the, the company's cost, and then the company goes under because they don't. Okay. President got off a good one yesterday.
Just say no is the right advice to give your teenagers about drugs. It is not an acceptable response to whatever economic policy is proposed by the other party.
Yeah, exactly. This reminded me yesterday just how they've become the party of no. Obama has made his first judicial nomination. Did you hear this? Indiana Judge David Hamilton. He's good. Yeah, he's
good. I like his work.
Yeah. I don't think people think, we have any idea who any of these guys are. His choice for the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. The judge, considered to be a moderate, of course, and by the way, it made good on Obama's campaign pledge for home state consultation. So both senators, Lugar, a Republican from Indiana, and Evan Bayh, the Democrat, both recommended Hamilton for the post. Mm-hmm. So early reactions from Capitol Hill, favorable. The nomination earned praise from a liberal group, caution from conservatives, because they're not even sure who he is yet, but if Obama's for him, they're probably...
The majority says no.
Yeah. They haven't figured out why yet, but there's probably...
They'll make something up.
Exactly.
Can't find anything.
Exactly. All right. Senator Patty Murray, Democrat of the great state of Washington, on the new budget.
I've heard a lot of talk about this budget quote, taxing too much. Well, Madam President, they must be reading a different budget than I am. President Obama's budget would not raise taxes on 95% of Americans.
And FYI, GTK, it'll actually give a tax cut to 95% of Americans, just like the president said during the campaign. Okay, Senator Barbara Boxer, and B-Box rocks, might I just say, before I even see what she has to say.
If you fight for the status quo, that is not a passive act. It's a hostile act, because the status quo has got to change so we can relieve some of the pain in America.
All right. See, did I tell you she always rocks? Yeah, again, I've said over and over again, I am not nearly smart enough to slog through all this financial information and know what the hell is the exact right answer. But that's just common sense, isn't it, Jim? Did we keep doing what we've been doing?
Yeah.
We didn't get here by accident. You can't have created this huge mess by accident. It seems like the Republicans, I try to listen. I try to go, okay, I understand that point, but it just to me, it's like, how can we keep doing the exact same thing we've been doing?
We need more foxes in the chicken coop, not fewer. Clearly.
Exactly. All right, speaking of judicial appointments, so Justice Ginsburg, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, says she will begin chemotherapy later this month following her surgery in February for pancreatic cancer. She says she doesn't expect to miss any court sessions. She's calling the treatment precautionary. Let's hope so. Gulp. All right. Yesterday, so George Bush got invited to speak in Canada, and Sarah Palin Those are two of the finest speakers that have ever hit a podium, aren't they?
Well, in Alaska, we're right next to Canada. We could see Stephen Harper's head looming over the hills there. You betcha.
Who watched the Charlie Gibson or Katie Couric interviews and went, I want to hear more of that. She, okay.
In what respect, Charlie?
She, so we had said yesterday she was supposed to speak at that big dinner, the Republican Congressional Committee's dinner thing, whatever.
Whatever.
This is how confused the Republican Party is. They announced that Sarah Palin would speak at the big June joint fundraising dinner. The only problem, no one appears to have told Caribou Barbie.
Oh.
The governor's office said Palin has not even confirmed that she would be attending the event. Her spokesman said, I communicate with the governor directly, and she didn't know anything about it. She said that Palin asked him why the Associated Press was reporting that she was going to do this. I pointed out the National Republican Senatorial Committee press release, and she was like, no. Yeah.
Computer says no.
I wonder if that was one of the things she was reading.
Perhaps.
She's going to get back to us. And
she was going to get that information back to us on whether she'll be there or not.
Hmm.
All right.
Well, they always get Michael Steele.
Oh, boy.
That's funny.
Baby. It concerns me when a grown man says baby too
baby.
Much. Exactly.
What is this oldest baby? The funeral never said baby.
Exactly. Exactly. It lacks gravitas, as we said yesterday. It would have ruined a lot of the best speeches of all time. All right. Not only are we getting a bailout fatigue, we are getting a war fatigue. American support for the war in Afghanistan has ebbed to a new low as attacks on U.S. troops and their allies have hit record levels and commanders are pleading for reinforcements. A new USA Today Gallup poll out. In the weekend poll, 42% of respondents said the U.S. made a mistake in sending military forces to Afghanistan, up from 30% in February.
7 years ago, we had a chance of doing something. Now, the Taliban are just so entrenched, I don't know what we can do.
Yeah, compare, in January 2002, only 6% said the war was a mistake. I mean, yeah, that's the problem, is now, of course, we have war fatigue from both wars, but if we had finished the job and got the guys that actually did this to us on 9/11... then we, you know, now we're in basically twin messes in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I got to say, I don't know how the president gets us out of all this, the financial mess. But, and again, talking about interconnected, the wars, everybody's screaming about these, whether it's bonuses or any. Look at the money. You know the money we've spent?
Trillion.
In Iraq and Afghanistan.
In just Iraq, it's probably about a trillion at this point.
Yeah, or if the Nobel-winning economist is right, a $3
trillion
war. How does that not have a huge...
Yeah, we're going to get a $3 trillion, that's right.
Yes. How does that not have a huge effect on our economy? And Afghanistan is costing us more because we didn't finish the job.
Right.
So now, it's anyway.
Taliban have proliferated like bacteria, and we could have gone in with some disinfectant 7 years ago and done some good, but now I think it's just too late.
I know, and now our economy is so bad because of all of it, we're going, hey, maybe we should grow poppy. Maybe we should fund our entire economy.
Cash crop.
Exactly. Well, that's what they're saying in California. If we could just legalize marijuana.
And tax it.
Problem solved.
Right.
Okay, David in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on AIG. Hello, David.
Hey, Stephanie. Hey, retention bonuses is code word for golden parachutes, and nobody's talking about that.
Yeah, well, we were saying that belongs in an Alanis Morissette song, the whole, that they got these retention bonuses and then left.
Exactly.
Right?
Not all of them, but...
Well, hello. Yeah. It's a little ironic.
Yeah.
All right.
No, it's just a lie. It's what it is.
Yeah, in case you hadn't heard.
Retention bonus. Yeah, sure, that's a ticket.
Hey,
you got to get the top talent that'll destroy the company and drive the global economy into the ditch.
In case you hadn't heard, New York Attorney General Andrew Cuomo confirmed in a letter to Congress that this year, after receiving federal bailout money, AIG paid 73 employees bonuses of more than $1 million each. 8 people received $4 million or more. Cuomo also confirmed that 11 of the employees no longer work for the company.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Hey, thanks for the bonus to keep me. Bye.
I think... fraud investigation is warranted.
Perhaps. All right. Hey, here's something. This is how you know it's a new day, Jim, is apparently Democrats are working together.
What?
Yeah.
Is that on the left?
Or this is what Bill O'Reilly was screaming about the other day. Can I have some scary music, Tony? Yeah, this is Bill O'Reilly's worst nightmare, is Democrats have learned how to work together. Oh, no. A broad coalition of left-leaning groups is quietly closing ranks in a new coalition, Unity 2009. Huh? Are we allowed to do that, to work together? aimed at helping President Obama push his agenda through Congress, because you see the Republicans are being such obstructionist tools. So people with common interests, apparently, Jim, are coming together to help get things done for America.
It's a plot.
Exactly. Because, you know, MoveOn.org is in there. The ACLU, La Raza, Planned Parenthood, labor unions, environmental groups.
Janine Garofalo.
Exactly. When progressive activists are working in concert and the right is forming a circular firing squad, you know it's a new day, said Paul Begala, who is not involved.
I was going to guess that was a Paul Begala quote.
Yeah. The new organization, likely to stir fears among conservatives already feeling organizationally outgunned and flatly alarmed by the new progressive infrastructure.
It can't be organized!
They're scared of infrastructure of any kind, aren't they? Bill O'Reilly said that this is a threat to America.
Infrastructure is socialism! Gotta stop it!
All right, that's it for us today. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer boy toy, Chris LeBoy, Tony for filling in the last hour, Jim Ward, Rebecca Baker. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.